I gotta, my spirit is telling me to throw this in here.
Listen to the spirit, man.
Get a joint account. Ooh, married couples.
Ooh, Jay.
And it's gonna ruffle a lot of feathers. Jay. I know they're gonna be mad at Jay.
Appreciate y'all for listening to the Literacy Kings. Some of y'all just finna cut this podcast off.
You know, for some of you, before you say, I ain't listening to them fools no more, let me finish.
What up, what up? This is the Literacy Kings podcast. My name is Corey Paul, rapper, creative, and entrepreneur.
And I'm Jamarcus Traham, aka Jay with the NBA. Investor and teacher.
Hey man, we grew up in a neighborhood with like a 40% dropout rate and didn't read a book until we was grown men. But once we did, it changed our lives. So now we breaking down books to build up culture. We are
the Literacy Kings.
Now, reading is fundamental.
What up? This is the Literacy Kings podcast, man. Appreciate y'all coming back for another episode. This is season 4, episode 7, and we're still in our book, The Richest Man in Babylon. Today, we're going to be going over Cure 5, Make Thy Dwelleth a Profitable Investment. So it's talking about home life. But the dope part about the book is it's not just owning versus renting. It's also a place of peace, making your home of a place of peace. So we're gonna break down it today. We're gonna talk about the mental side, the spiritual side, the family side of securing the bag and a profitable investment, because that's a big part of it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about just running the bag up and destroying everything along its way, you know what I'm saying? But you want your dwelling to be a profitable investment on multiple levels. So if you haven't listened to anything yet, we implore you to go back and check out episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6.
It would behoove you
to check
go
those,
listen
check those episodes out. But before we get into the show, Jay, how you feeling, baby? Jay got the Nip shirt on.
I'm feeling good, man. I got my Nipsey Hussle shirt on, man. All money in, like Nip would say.
Yeah,
I'm feeling good, man. Let's do it.
I love it. All right, so make thy dwelling a profitable investment. So this is kind of a two-part episode. The first part of what the book is talking about is having it be basically a place of peace, you know what I'm saying, for your family, for your children, for yourself. Then the second part is more of like a owning versus renting, which we'll get into. But let's do this, because we usually get to the fundamentals, you know what I'm saying, chasing. But let's talk about the family aspect, the home aspect of that on this episode, because that's a big part of it, man. And I know some
personal experiences
say sometimes, oftentimes, all the time, if you really trying to have your house legit, and you and wifey, or if you a lady listener, you and your husband, or you know, or even before y'all get there, for you and your significant other,
or you and your life partner,
if y'all not on one accord, it's gonna be problems. You know what I'm saying?
Problem.
It's gonna be problems, man. So that's one nugget I want to drop off is being on one accord. If you not married yet, or you not, you know what I'm saying, locked in yet, I would strongly encourage that you and your significant other are on the same wavelength financially. Don't accuse the Literacy Kings of being sexist. You know what I'm saying?
Please,
if she is a hard worker, and she trying to, you know, take this bread and pay y'all first, and you know, live beyond means and invest and get into real estate. And as soon as you get the check, you know what I'm saying, Hey, these new J's finna drop. They self-locking. These
turn
new self-locking J's.
Turn your cash into trash.
You know what I'm saying? They finna drop. I need this this NFL pack. I need this NBA pack. I need, you know what I'm saying, to tear down this Gucci stuff. If y'all gonna have problems turning y'all dwelling.
She's gonna leave you, pal. Let's just go ahead and get right to it. She's gonna leave you, pal. And vice versa. If he out here working and you're just spending all the money and you're gonna become expendable.
Yeah, man. And you can't expect a person to change just because you think they should change. Me and my wife been down a long time. We high school sweethearts like a mug, you know what I'm saying? And now whenever we talk to, you know, younger couples that's thinking about getting married or whatever, we ask this question, and you gotta be real with this question. We say, if the person you with right now, if they never change from who they are right now on this day, are you good with being married to them for the rest of your life? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the question that you have to ask.
It's not a good chance that they gonna change.
It's not a good say, man. You know what I mean?
Especially their financial habits.
Right. That's what we talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it applies to overall, but especially their financial habits. If you know, you listen to Dave Ramsey, you listen to Susie Orman, you listen to these other quote unquote experts, they would say that women seek security more than freedom, and guys seek freedom more than security when it comes to finances. That could lead to a lot of disagreements, especially if your communication piece not there, because women like to build emergency funds and things like that that's related to their needing for security financially.
Right.
Or they say a lot of women, they get with the guy with the bag because of financial security.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As opposed to guys that lean more towards freedom. We want to make these big investments. We want to do this because they prefer to fight for their freedom. But security and freedom are polar opposites.
Yeah.
Maximum security, you ain't free at all.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So it just depends. You need that communication piece, like Corey was saying, being on one accord with your spouse, because I've had disagreements with my wife, and I learned to get around it, and I also learned to be a better communicator of my plans.
Yeah, that's
and the
good.
Thoughts that are in my head.
That's
like,
good.
This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm looking 5-10 years down the road.
Yeah, because what I've learned, it would make us qualified to speak on this because we both married. You know what I'm saying? We both married. We both ran businesses. We both had businesses before we got married.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? We
no
had,
prenups. You know what I'm saying?
No prenups. You know what I'm saying? I was messing with someone talking about prenups. You know, my wife graduated from medical school this summer. Shout out to that. That been a drive. But we was playing about prenups. I was like, oh, no, you can play with me if you want to. You getting that doctor money shortly. You know what I'm saying? And we in Texas, baby. So, you know what I mean?
Community property state.
So, you know, we've been on both sides. You know, businesses before we got married. You know what I'm saying? Businesses doing and gay businesses post-marriage, starting new businesses. We both was married after we started Literacy Kings. You know what I'm saying? And so when you talk about the home life, in order to help bring y'all together, what I found, just like what Jay's saying, it got to be a plan, because y'all got to have something to go look at and measure. See, emotions are emotions. But if we sit down together, sound mind and body, you know what I'm saying? And say, okay, this is what fair. This is what look like this. How do you feel about that? Woo, woo, woo. Okay, that's our plan together. We go forward. Somebody got a problem, we can draw back. You know what I'm saying? So this is what we wrote up. This was the play. And we can readjust versus... You should understand. You should just know. You see, I'm out here hustling, trying to woo. You know what I'm saying? It ain't gonna go like you think.
Give you another piece of wisdom. Study their family.
Ooh. Bring it back, Screw.
Yeah.
Man, we got to chop and screw these episodes.
Screw tape,
man.
Tap, tap.
Say, man.
Bring it back.
Say, man. Bring it back, Screw. Yeah.
Study their family. If you study their family, you'll see the habits of their family. You'll see it's shining important in their, in their family. You know what I'm saying? Or you want to call it status if you're if you're yeah. high class. Is status and titles important in their family?
Yeah.
Or are they kind of laid back and reserved? Or do people in their family host events just to show off things? Yeah. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That goes into the person that you married's mental matter.
Right, right, right.
We get our habits from our parents mm-hmm. until we decide to correct them or keep them. You know what I'm saying? So study their family. I would say before marriage.
Please, before marriage.
But definitely as you're going through marriage. Marriage is a process. It benefited me. I learned to work around because I started studying my wife's mother, my wife's grandmother, started bagging it up some generations, and I learned, okay. And then I saw changes in philosophy. Her mom operated different from her grandma. So, you know what I'm saying? So, but if you tie it all together, you'll see if both of these people had influence on my wife, then that's where she gets certain ideas from. So
you saying a bit of wisdom. You saying something against that.
You're going against core beliefs.
There you go. Core beliefs. That's good. Yeah. That's good. So a few things in our experience that help is one, having dedicated time with your family. You know what I'm saying? Like having dedicated time. Me and Jay try not to, once we finish recording and stuff like that, once it get past usually about like 6, you know what I'm saying, we try not to call each other unless it's important. You know what I'm saying? Because we know we got the kids, it's the wife, we trying to chill. Brittany trying to watch Grey's Anatomy, so me trying to, you know what I'm saying?
Unless Bitcoin hit 26,000, I ain't gonna call you.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You know, so trying to have those boundaries, you know what I mean, set up and understand the holistic, you know, picture is super important.
You make more money by being balanced. Let me throw that in there.
Yeah, that's good.
I used to think the other way because we grew up in hustle environments, hustle mania.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You just thinking. I like that.
We're going to put that on the show.
Yeah, I like that. I can see that already.
We grow up in hustle mania environments.
Yeah.
I always do hustle. Before I met my wife, I used to sleep in the tax office.
Yeah.
I'm on the grind, baby. You know what I'm saying? That would be equivalent to you spending the night in the studio.
Yeah, we like
it. You know what I'm saying? You grinding, but I've actually made more with my wife. My wife provided balance. She's like, workflow management. See what you can get done, and then come on, decompress with your family. You'll be recharged more. When I used to grind all night, the next day, I'd have to go back to the office, and I'd be like,
You're only getting half done anyway.
I'm only getting 20% that day.
Yeah.
The next day.
And
so,
you know what? I believe you 100%. You know why? Because if you're doing it for real, it's the 80-20 law. You know what I'm saying? See, when you going to grind it out, you're going to go. You're going to put all this stuff on your plate. But when you know your time getting cut down, then you got to look and go, okay, what's the important stuff I got to get done?
Correct.
And you start realizing the most important things are yielding the biggest results. You would have did all this other stuff, you know, because you had the time that really wouldn't have amounted to a whole lot. But because you had to be selective,
prioritize the task.
That's real.
Yeah, that shout out to my wife. She brought balance into it.
That's good. That's good.
She also told me, you know, switch to home office. If you switch to home office, it'll cut on your commute time.
Yeah, you cutting an hour.
Which is more time. You know what I'm saying? Commuting from the office because I had storefronts. Commute from the storefront to there. You know what I'm saying? So I revised my entire business plan when I got with my wife, and I've made more.
Yeah, since then. That's beautiful, dog. I have to.
Yeah, I'm saying
that's a whole nother episode. So I believe the mental and spiritual space goes right in line mm-hmm. with this, because it's like you were saying, a lot of our beliefs are, they bigger than us. You know what I mean? This is core foundational stuff that we might have started adapting before we even knew that we were adopting it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like I tell you all the time, most of your thoughts become words and words become action.
Facts.
But it starts with the thought. So you, when you find that work-life balance, when I look at my children, mm-hmm. I work the next day harder because of the time mm-hmm. I spend with my children. I'm doing this because I have to do this for my children. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a guy that spends no time at home, mm-hmm. just work, and then says, I never spend no time with you because I'm too busy working mm-hmm. and I'm doing it for you. I couldn't operate like the latter guy mm-hmm. because, and I know guys who do, I'm not knocking them. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, me personally, I couldn't be that guy anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was grounded, I had the tax office, and I was saying, this was before I had any children.
Right.
But now you got to come home to them and they re-motivate you.
Facts.
Bro. Like, I ain't never been, I thought I was a hustler. Yeah. I thought I was a grinder.
Until
I had children, bro.
Facts.
You hit a whole nother gear that you didn't know exists.
Facts.
So get that family time in, man. They'll re-motivate you and re-inspire you.
I think that's a big point right there, bro. That's a big point, is you thinking that it may take away from you, but it's really turning you up more than anything outside of that, you know what I'm saying, will ever do. I agree 100% with that. That's dope. So another practical step to take, me and Jay both do this with our wives, financial meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Having those
every Saturday morning, me and Brittany Trahan.
yeah. You know what I'm saying? Doing those financial meetings. One thing my pastor told me a while ago that stick with me forever on in marriage and literacy kings and everything, he said, vision leaks. You know what I'm saying? Vision is like a bucket with a hole in it. You know what I mean? It leaks. Just because that's the vision on January 1st doesn't mean that all parties are going to fully understand and live by that vision, because life happens. And when life happens, vision leaks. And which means you got to continue to re-pour that vision back into the bucket, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know that goes doubly when it comes to finances. You know what I'm saying? The financial vision for your household. So I think it's imperative when you do that. I know for us, when we started doing the financial meetings, it made it a real thing, and it kept it fresh on our mind, and it kept us motivated to continue to hit our targets and make adjustments and remix how we doing something and trying it that way and stuff like that. So, and then also we learning from each other. You know what I mean?
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, we learning from each other.
It's very important. This is how mine started. We were in marriage counseling, and I learned that finances is the number one reason why for divorce. It's not infidelity. Yep. It's not. Yep. It's finances.
Yeah. Yep.
So we prioritized it in premarital counseling before we even got married. Then I chose weekly meetings because so much can happen in 30 days with your money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
for real.
So I was like, once a month, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, you could blow the band and you be scratching and surviving good times, hanging in the child line. You know what I'm saying? To the end of the month.
Yeah.
Once a month is not enough. So then we switched to weekly. The thing that it benefited the most is me and my wife, from our job, not from our investments, but from our jobs, we get paid on opposite weeks.
Mm.
So there's literally a paycheck coming in every week.
Nice.
All right, you see what I'm saying? Thank God. That's mm-hmm. a blessing that we don't get paid on the same cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We get paid. So there's literally money every week, every mm-hmm. week. So, and then your bills, your expenses are due at different parts of the week.
Mm-hmm.
This week, this is the lights, water, gas, the mm-hmm. first of the month bills. That's what we call mm-hmm. it. First of the month bills. Then you might have her student loans might be due on a different. But and then so when you have the first couple meetings, our first couple meetings they used to be an hour. Mm-hmm. When we was first starting out,
because
we're doing the heavy lifting. It's just like a business. We're setting up the business mm-hmm. of the Trahan Family mm-hmm. Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's just like anything else. When you're setting it up, it's going to take initial meetings are going to be longer. Mm-hmm. But once the plane get off the ground, our meetings now are like 15 minutes.
Yeah, because it's just maintenance. It's maintenance, yeah. Check-in, management. That's good.
So
that's good.
As a cohesive unit, what we did was I did the budget. And my wife executes the budget.
Nice.
Yeah. So I did the budget. I set up everything. And then I did the spreadsheets, the line items and all that. And my wife created logins, mm-hmm. username and logins for mm-hmm. it. And she got it all wrote down. And she's like, all right. So she actually pays the bills. Mm-hmm. But it's in my budget that mm-hmm. I set up though.
Nice.
So we work together and say this week, see, different things change. My son, we might have to pay for them for this week. You have to pay this supply fee at daycare. Mm-hmm. Well, that's $100. So it changes weekly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we started doing that. And because every week different things come out. What that did was lead us to do weekly grocery shopping as well, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would set up a monthly budget and say, okay, for the month this is what we're allocating for groceries,
right?
But then we're gonna make them big purchases and then a lot of the groceries don't get used. We'd be mm-hmm, going out, we'd mm-hmm, be mm-hmm. out here and there and everywhere, mm-hmm. and then our cash was going to waste on the grocery bill. So when we switched to weekly meetings, then after that weekly meeting we just do, all right, mm-hmm. this is for groceries this week. Then a food calendar came out of that,
right?
And
right.
then a lot of that stuff got on track,
right?
The sub markets of that financial
right,
budget,
right,
all of those
right.
started lining up too.
That's dope. That's
because
good.
Of those weekly meetings.
And some of the practical steps you can take with that is when it comes to budgeting and different things like that, it is a gang of tools out there that you can use for different things. Some of the popular ones are like Mint, you know, that's mm-hmm. like a way that you can keep track of your expenses. Different bank accounts, like I know Bank of America and Chase, they have tracking inside of mm-hmm. your account.
It's little pie charts or whatever.
Yeah, charts that you can see mm-hmm. where your money is going, because, you know, living, auto, food, you know, you got kids, daycare, those are going to be like kind of your top hitters, mortgage, you know, stuff like that, your top hitters. But you can use like Mint or something like that to start tracking, you know, your expenses to help you get a basis. And then you can start setting some of those goals.
I got my spirit is telling me to throw this in here.
Listen to the spirit, man.
Get a joint account,
ooh,
married couples.
Jay.
It's gonna ruffle a lot of feathers.
Jay.
I know they're gonna be mad at Jay.
Appreciate y'all for listening to the Literacy Kings. Some of y'all is finna cut this podcast off. Right
yeah,
now.
You know, for some of you, before you say, I ain't listening to them fools no more, let me finish.
Yeah.
Okay. I know, my parents don't even have a joint account.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I ain't telling you nothing. I'm gonna keep it 1,000 while with you. A joint account, bro, you'll get the synergy of two people working together.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The people I know that's functioning like a well-oiled V8 yeah. North Star Cadillac engine,
yeah.
they the people that got the joint account and it's always working together and they in unison.
Yeah.
The people that I know that's struggling, they like, well, he paid this.
I pay it.
And I pay that. Mm-hmm. And you ain't hold up your end. Mm-hmm. This and that.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter. I ain't seen my paycheck. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Why? Because I put it in the joint account.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I know I've already set up a system. Mm-hmm. The car's already running, baby. Mm-hmm. We're a locomotive.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's already running. I ain't seen it. I be forgetting that I got paid. Because it's direct deposit and it's there and it goes there. And I know from there my wife executes.
Yeah.
What that does is free me up. Mm-hmm. Now I worry about my business mm-hmm. accounts. Now I'm running my business, I'm worried about these. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But we're in unison.
Yeah.
It's something about that joint account that makes it in unison. It makes you can't hide, you can't stash, can't give money to the side chick. You gotta find another way, guys.
What's this Victoria's Secret choice? Yeah. Hey, say man, look.
But if you trying to grow, trust me, that joint account.
So I agree with you on the joint account is the ideal way to go in marriage, especially if you're talking about marriage from a biblical perspective and it's supposed to be one. You know what I'm saying? Y'all supposed to be one together. So ideally, I agree. Me and my wife, we have a joint account too. But I know people that don't, like you say. And
boy, stash
different, you know, because sometimes somebody might run off with the money, like not run off and leave, but you know, get to the end of the month, they didn't spend the money, and it's still bills left. Mm-hmm. left, and they didn't spend the money. So one of the spouses is like, man, nah, I'm finna put my money over here because you tripping. You know what I'm saying? You know, you jeopardizing, you know, the home life.
That's adjusting to a person that's not on the same page.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
That's natural.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I know and know, you know, it can kind of get, you know, rough with that kind of stuff. But I go back to, I do believe that you should be working towards that joint account, because when it come down to partnerships, like for real partnerships, your spouse got to be your A1. Like, you need to, y'all need to be in counseling, y'all, and ain't nothing wrong with counseling, y'all, you know what I'm saying? You need to be in counseling, you need to be working on this relationship. If y'all not at a point where y'all can have a joint account, I don't feel, in my opinion, that it's just like, ah, that's just how we rocking, and then y'all gone by y'all way. I feel like that's a flaw. You feel what I'm saying? In the marriage, we all got flaws in our marriage, mm-hmm. but we supposed to be working on them. You feel
I will
me?
Say this: the people that I know that don't have the joint account, based on my conversations with them, that's not about money. They have trust issues.
Of course you got trust issues. Yeah. You got different accounts.
So if you don't
have trust issues.
So they, you know what I'm saying, that's the main thing that they need to work on. The joint account or the lack of joint account or not wanting to do it is just a byproduct.
Right.
Of the lack of trust. So that's what you need to work on. You need to work on the trust issue.
The foundation part of it.
And like I said, there's core differences between how one person thinks versus how one, which might lead them to be standoffish.
Yeah.
About the joint.
Nah. You just paid it. Yeah, right. See, but you got, and as it go back to, you got to have A1 day one. Like, if V was on, V, say, if you listen to our show, you don't know, V is a literacy queen, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. She, shout out to Queen V.
She run more than y'all know. Me and Jay, we just work for V. but if V would probably bring up Guwap. Remember when Guwap had to go sit down?
Yeah.
He left his wife with the bag.
Yeah, left him with some M's.
Remember that? And when he came out,
She flipped it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Flipped it. And that boy came, he say, out his own mouth. He say he came out with way more than when he went in. Mm-hmm. Say, man, that's some trust.
Because I know some dealers who got sent away, and their entrusted partners blew that bag, sold their cars,
cashed them out.
Pun the jury
down 2 years.
Everything
cashed me out.
Cashed them out, yeah, Jack, and ain't put nothing on the books. I can name them. I'm trying not to say their name on this microphone.
Don't say their name. They probably still
plenty of dealers who had their bag that they risked their freedom for, literally, been cashed out.
Yeah, man.
By their spouse.
See,
you know what I'm saying?
So it's, yeah, hey, we ran off on that one, but that's big. You feel me? That's a big part of the game when we talking about, because we talking about the whole house. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's a good time to talk about more than just the tangible assets. You know what I mean?
If you don't have that meeting, then the only thing that's inside your mind normally be your financial needs.
Right. And it got to be together. got to be together. Like that, I believe that for real too. Women, you know, can speak for it in a sense, but I, from a man's perspective, like, my wife has hands down made me better. You know what I'm saying? So like bringing, you know, what I do to her in conversation, just sharing, you know what I'm saying, and talking and growing, like, you know, when it come down to getting that home life on point, like, you know, it ain't gonna be necessarily be easy, but if you can get through it, to get to it, I feel like it could be fire.
You need to send a different perspective. You need to have a different perspective. That's the other set of eyes that's gonna see stuff that you didn't see.
Right, things that you're gonna forget.
Naturally. Ain't nobody perfect.
Yeah, that's just part of the game. All right. So that's counseling 101 with the Literacy Kings. Marital counseling 101 with the Literacy Kings. You know what I'm saying? Don't get ran up out your house, man. Just remember, we just talking.
I got a rental property for you if you get ran up out of
You know what I'm saying? Don't get ran out your crib listening to us. All right, now let's go ahead and move on to the actual factual, the practicality of it, right? When it comes to making thy dwelling a profitable investment. Now here is the tangible side, right? Mm-hmm. We can start off with owning versus rent, mm-hmm. right? That's a whole conversation, right? A home is usually considered an asset if you're talking to people. Well, if you listen to Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, Richest Man in Babylon, you can take from them and other financial, you know, people, a home is actually a liability until it becomes an asset.
Correct.
But according to the definition, an asset puts something in your pocket, liability takes it out. A home is a liability with the potential of becoming an asset, right? So that's where the renting versus owning mm-hmm. comes into place, because if you're just renting, then you don't have the overhead responsibilities of a home. If the plumbing go wrong, something with the electricity go bad, if the yard, man, you don't have those responsibilities because, you know, in essence, because you're renting. However, you're not on the path of turning your liability into an asset. And so that's what the book was talking about. It's talking about how if you are if you're in the process of owning your home, then you can, because you remember, you got the 10 that you're paying yourself first. Mm-hmm. We would say 10 to the Lord, 10 to saving. You living off of 70. Well, out of the 70 you living off of, your home expenses is in there, mm-hmm. but then eventually that becomes an asset. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So then, you know, you're opening up more of that. And that's kind of the foundation.
I saw on social media somebody was like, stop saying the word home owner, cause you still paying the mortgage and y'all still paying them people, you know, and renting and all this. And
you own that loan.
I normally don't engage with people that, like, especially if I can see clearly from your post that your financial intelligence is not where it needs to be. But I might every now and then comment something like a question to get you to think. So I commented under, can you sell your apartment or where you are renting? Mm-hmm. Question mark. That's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And that person, nah, I mean, I wasn't saying it like that. And I'm like, they turn it back up. And I'm just like, they were trying to say that I'm, you know, you still paying it. And just like, we still paying it. And I was like, you're thinking about it all wrong.
The wrongest.
Even after the mortgage is gone, you still have to pay property taxes. You will never get expense free from owning any piece of real estate. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm saying is, to buy a house is to have a sellable asset.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't sell if you're renting.
Exactly.
You can sell a house before you're done paying for it.
Right.
You can. There's been flips literally in less than a month. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what a flip is, as a short-term investment. Like, mm-hmm. you can do that because it's a sellable asset.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? You can't get that from renting. I ain't gonna even get into all the extras, though, pulling money out your house and equity, and I ain't gonna get into all that all yet. But to have a place that once will be yours, to have something that you can deed down to your children, mm-hmm. to have some, that's different.
Yeah, and ownership, that's a good, I'm so glad you brought that up, because ownership is a big buzzword this year. It goes from a buzzword to foundational principles that we live by,
a mandatory minimum.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Ownership does not mean that you own something outright. Right. That's not what ownership means. It does not mean that you cashed out and you own it outright. What ownership means is you have an ownership stake in whatever the thing is that we're talking about.
Ownership interest.
Ownership
that's
interest.
That's what the paperwork would say.
Yeah, that's bad. That's a, there we go. There we go. Ownership interest in the thing that we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So, meaning that when, for the house example, when you go to buy your house, the bank gives you a loan that is in your name to purchase that house, right? And so that home, so you have the ownership interest in this home, right? Meaning you have the ability to sell it, you have the ability to keep it, you have the ability to rent it, right? Because you have that ownership interest, right? Now, eventually, once you pay it off, then you will have full ownership rights to whatever the thing is if you're using a property, right? But if you take the concept of until something is 100% paid for, then there is no there's no ownership to it. That shatters the basis of everything that we know about, because it is countless companies that have debt on their balance sheet.
Forever, permanent debt.
That does, I'm serious. Does that mean that no, they don't own their company? Like, that makes sense.
You can get a commercial property and have 100-year
right
mortgage on it. Like, they do that on purpose.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
And in our generation, it ain't gonna be paid off, but I can afford the monthly
right
payments on it and to put my business inside that corporate building.
Exactly. So,
but
so,
I digress. Keep going.
Yeah. So that's a misconception, is that you have to 100%, you know, own something. Like, obviously, there's levels of ownership, right? You might have a business and have a 10% stake in it. You might have an 80% stake. So it's variations in the ownership interest that you have in that thing. But eventually it can get to a point to where you own 100% of it. But like Jay was saying, even with real estate, you still have to pay taxes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Own it. So yeah, I would add
controlling interest on top
good.
Of that.
That's good.
If you can, like I said, like I was telling the girl who made the post, I can still control it, whether it's paid off or not. Like anything that's an asset has a market for it. I keep telling people all the time. That means there's buyers and sellers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you own it, then you have a market to where you can take it and sell your interest in it.
You wanna put the period on that conversation? When you think talking about ownership, or it's like using that example, well, you don't own all of the house, so you don't own the house, then that means you don't own your money. You know what I'm saying? You feel
burr,
me?
Like Gucci would say.
You don't own your money if that's the case, because you ain't that. Because the government ain't got all that they say that they got. You feel me? It's an IOU. You feel correct. Me? So that's what I'm saying. The foundation principles in America.
You have a controlling interest over it, though.
Controlling interest in your money, long as the U.S. is still good for what they say they is.
We're going to switch to crypto.
Yeah.
Something else.
For real. Yeah, that's good. Home equity.
There is a part where OG Orchid says, he says, if a man set aside 9 parts of his earning, which upon to live, because remember, you're supposed to save the pay yourself with the 10th. So if he sets apart 9 parts of his earning upon which to live and enjoy life, and if any part of the 9 parts he can turn into a profitable investment, because remember, your house expenses is inside the 9, right? So if you can turn that into a profitable investment without detriment to his well-being, then so much faster will his treasures grow.
Right.
Right? Right. This is the 5th lesson that Ark was teaching to the seminar group. So if you think about home equity, if you think about that, just to throw a statistic out there, 60% of the wealth in this country is home equity.
Says a lot.
60%. So if you look at the groups of people that have been marginalized, look at their home ownership rates. I bet it's lower.
I guarantee you, I know for a fact it is because I looked up the numbers.
Yeah.
The ownership in the Black community, home ownership is declining.
Over the past 10 years. It's declining. Yep.
I looked it up.
So if the money in this country, 60% of the wealth is tied to home ownership, and you don't have home ownership, you're taking yourself out of 60% of that.
Right.
Of the wealth. Like off the muscle.
It's so much bigger because we're going to talk about this in the next episode about, you know what I'm saying, the future of yourself and your kids. But when we talk about the home ownership, when you think about it in the big picture, I think about all of these different businesses that were started off the back of home ownership, in particular FUBU, Damon John.
Right.
His mom took equity out of her house so that he could fulfill one of his early purchase orders. You know what I'm saying? You know that he got that LC. Damon Jones was working at Red Lobster before he started FUBU.
Right.
He couldn't get no loan. You know what I'm saying? So because his mom owned her house, she was able to take out the money for her sons to invest in her son, and he would go on to get more investors. And to date, FUBU has grossed over a billion, you know what I'm saying, in global sales. It might be billions at this time, but the foundation of that is home ownership.
So a play you can run, which is the play that I'm running, is through equity in a home. Now, I'm not doing it with my personal home, but I'm doing it with another investment property. I'm taking the equity that's in that property and using it to go buy more property.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's like what Arky was saying. You know, your treasures will grow much faster.
Right, right, right.
So that's just a play that I have friends that have already ran this play. Once you got a substantial amount of equity in an investment property, it's only going to spiral more and more and more.
Right, right, right.
So
right.
especially if you get an investment property free and clear, you got the key to the city.
Yeah.
Because now you have so much equity in that property, now you can go get a line of credit, but bust that line of credit down, you might get 2-3 more properties out of that line of credit from that one. So that one gonna turn into 3.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? It's gonna spiral.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. So we'll unless Jay got something else, I just got a last little bit about when you talk about home ownership, depending on where you are in life, it can kind of seem daunting, you know, when you talk about home ownership. And it's different ways to go about it. You know what I'm saying? It's different ways to do it. You have, you know, the traditional loans that a bank could give you, 30-year.
Conventional
loans, 30-year or 15-year. The 15-year going to cost more up front because it's a shorter loan, but it'll be less interest over time. The 30-year be smaller payments. Jay was talking about before, I think you mentioned about, you know, if you have the discipline to have a 30-year with smaller payments, and then just paying more
principal payments.
Principal, right?
Yeah, you could turn a 30 into 15 or 10 easily.
Yeah, if you had that discipline. And then for the veterans, you got the VA loans.
The VA loans, if for any veteran, I think you have to have an honorable discharge. But the good thing about the VA real quick is that they take care of closing costs which is, and they take care of down payments.
Nice.
Those are the two big things that really, really
right
hinder people from getting a house in the first place.
Right, right,
they don't
have right.
Enough, I don't got enough for down payment. There's no PMI insurance. PMI insurance is mortgage insurance.
Right.
So you got to pay PMI insurance until you cover at least 20% mm-hmm. of the mortgage. So if you got $100,000, until you get down to 80, until you chop off that that first 20%,
mm-hmm.
you have to pay mortgage insurance. Well, with a VA loan, there's no PMI insurance. You mm-hmm. don't have to pay that extra expense.
Got you.
No closing costs, no down payment, no PMI for VA. So I encourage every veteran.
Yeah.
Get the VA. Get you a crib. There's nothing stopping you.
Because the down payment and closing costs, you got
that's it. That's the hurdle.
That's the WAP.
Yeah.
You got to save up. Dope. And so it's called NACA, NACA loans. It's neighborhood
assistance.
A neighborhood assistance loans. And it's NACA, N-A-C-A. And with NACA, it's no down payment, no closing costs, no PMI, points, fees, and below market fixed rate. Today's rate, as we're recording, is 2.5 for a 30-year fixed and 2.0 for a 15-year fixed. And fixed means just that it's fixed. It won't fluctuate. And so the thing with NACA is... from everybody that talk about NACA and experience with it is that they do what they say they gonna do. Their goal is to, you know, revitalize neighborhoods and stuff like that. So it's no catch per se, but it's a process. You know what I'm saying? So like you have to go through a workshop. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Of course,
you have to have all these your finances in order, you know, to, you know, show them. You got to present a budget, you know, and the workshop may be 2 months from now. Mm-hmm. And then you have to find, people that will take the NACA loan, which there are a lot of people. They got people to work with you or whatever. But it's more of a process because mm-hmm. if you just got the bread, you can go to the bank. You know what I'm saying? And they'll tell you if you approve or whatever pre-approval level, a letter, and you can go. With NACA, it's going to be a little more labor intensive. It may take 2 or 3 months or something mm-hmm. like that for it all to come together. However, if you have the time, if you have the patience, it's a legitimate service, you know, in loan center, because their goal is to revitalize neighborhoods. So if you buy the home, you can't flip it. Like I can't use a NACA loan
right.
and buy something and then flip it and sell it or rent it out.
Yeah, it's for primary residence.
Yeah, it's for primary mm-hmm. residence. So if I got a $200,000 loan, I can't do anything other than live in that residence until I pay it off. Now once I pay it off, I do whatever I want to with it, but I can't pay, you know, get pay $100,000 down, you know what I'm saying, and then try to flip it real quick and all of that. So check that out, because I know that, you know, home ownership is it's a big deal, but it can be tough, and that's, you know, one of the type of loans, and it's probably tons other out there if you check it out, if you Google it or whatever. Jay, you got anything else? What you got? You good?
Just leave you with some last final words from the OG.
Yeah.
Arkit. No man can fully enjoy life unless they do have a plot of ground wherein his children can play.
Hmm.
All right. And then it says to own his own domicile and to have it a place where he is proud to care for, put its confidence in his heart and greater effort behind all his endeavors.
Nice.
So it'll provide a place of peace and a place that he's proud of, and that'll motivate your other efforts, like we were saying.
Right. And the last couple of things is with this, I would encourage also that, one, you can be creative in what you do. Do it on a time frame. Utilize the resource you have. What that means practically is, you know, you have all kind of people talking about it online, and I actually know a guy that did it, the home hacking, you know what I'm saying? And home mm-hmm. hacking is just basically where, you know, you get a house, but it has, you know, multiple rooms, and so you can rent out some of their rooms, or you can Airbnb it, or it might be a duplex or something like that. So you're just basically trying to find a way to not just have a mortgage and pay it, but where you can get some income rolling on that as well. It's a lot of information online about that. And then also you can be creative with whatever your situation is, you know. When I say that, I mean the resources you have, the people that you know, mm-hmm. the real estate or the property that they may have, and that it allows you to save up, you know. So what we're not saying is go get you a home, because that's what you got to do and deal with the consequences. You know, look and explore your options of saving and type of loans and hacking and
do your homework,
you know what I'm saying, beforehand. Because that's the dope thing, is like, you want to, when you pull the trigger, you want to be marksman, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You want to be expert, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to it or whatever. So take your time and do what you ever got, what you got to do to, you know what I'm saying, make it pop off like that. Yeah, for sure. Hey man, we appreciate y'all for checking in another episode of The Literacy Kings. We're still in our book, The Richest Man in Babylon, getting this game from the OG Arket. Make sure you check out patreon.com/literacykings so you can get the episodes before they drop. You can get the J's before they come out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can get the courses. You can get exclusive content and everything related to The Literacy Kings. Also, make sure you rate and review and share this with someone who you feel may get value from it. Until the next time, we appreciate y'all greatly, baby. Love.
Love.
Reading is fundamental.